Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd. I'm one of the pastors at First Family Church. Today is Tuesday, June 24th, and thanks for jumping on board, giving some time for some extra insight, application, observation around the text from which we preached last Sunday. And of course, today I want to not only approach the text from last Sunday, I want to kind of approach the chapter that we're in for these 3 weeks. We'll be in that same chapter next week, because the chapter as a whole really circles around the word endurance. And that's what this question is pertaining to today. It's relating to endurance. It came in about a week ago, and I wanted to address this because it's a fantastic question. It's an honest and courageous question, and it's one that I think all of us can relate to, especially when it comes to endurance, and especially when it comes to endurance in the month of June. Now, personally, I don't want to bring a ton of attention to that aspect of June. I don't want to give it more traction than it's getting already. But it is a reality that as Christians, we live in a culture that, for whatever reason, has permission to celebrate debauchery and perversion and corruption of God's original design. They celebrate that all month long. And so I do want to address this question because it does pertain to the endurance that's needed in that time. It comes from a lady who was saved at First Family Church several years ago out of a pretty horrendous situation. It's a beautiful work of the Lord. She's really maintained a strong testimony and has proven to be genuinely born again. I remember when she was baptized. She's since moved out of our city, but she listens and responds pretty regularly on issues, and I just really enjoy engaging with her. I know our staff does. And so her email is a little lengthy. I'll just read you the general question that she asked. Here it is. She asks this, quote, "How can I stand firm to my beliefs without provoking my coworkers to anger?" Now, that's the question in a very succinct form. It's right from her email, but it's nestled inside a number of paragraphs about where she works and their insistence on pride logos and flags, their insistence that you support it, that you push that agenda. And there's some other things involved there. And that the fact that much of the staff and the coworkers in that situation, they're very supportive of sexual perversion and sin. Of course, they're not going to call it that, but that's what the Bible refers to it as. So in the middle of that email, she asks, "How can I stand firm to my beliefs without provoking my coworkers to anger?" I love the heart of that too, because you can sense her desire is compassion. It's love. And yet there's a strong and a deeply rooted commitment to enduring and not folding, but instead holding up, maintaining and holding on. So let me just provide some, what I hope is some helpful advice. This answer is targeted to her question, and it does center on the timing of the year and what she's enduring at her workplace because of their celebration of Pride Month. So let me simply give a very quick answer, and then I want to explain it. I think the way to stand firm without provoking your coworkers to anger is to develop a winsomeness that is compelling and compassionate. The key word there would be winsomeness. In other words, a disposition, a posture that isn't timid, and it's not the kind of posture that, you know, is unsure or you're trying to figure out, you know, how not to say the hard things, but rather it's a posture of courage, of commitment, and yet there's a compassionate tone. There's even a smile. There's a sense of joy. There's not a sense of shame. You're not trying to back up from what you believe without offending them or without offending your Christians. This is a posture of winsomeness that is convictional. So I would say that from a large perspective, here's my answer to her question. The way to stay firm without provoking coworkers to anger is to display and develop a convictional winsomeness that's compassionate and compelling. Now, of course, the natural question is, how do we do that? That's the good question. And let me simply offer a couple of further tactics, we'll call them, that I think will help us develop a compassionate, compelling, convictional winsomeness. And I'd say the first one is this, just smile. Often when we're in some pretty heated, and I'll use the word debates or disagreements, and you can take your pick on how heated it is, but when there's known disagreement, when it's clear we're not going to approve, we're not going to jump on board, if we can still smile and exude joy in that conversation, it's very difficult for that person on the other side to feel provoked to anger. Now, admittedly, if you're smiling sarcastically, if you're grinning in a way that you're trying to stab them in the back or even in the front, that's not the kind of smile I'm talking about. I'm talking about a genuine smile that says you're enjoying this conversation, that you love them, that you want to talk to them, that you're not annoyed by this in one sense. It's a difficult balance at times, but I have found that simply smiling when you're engaged in a disagreeing conversation can actually be a help. It can help you display convictional, compelling, compassionate winsomeness, that you're not scared, you're not running, you're not cornered. You actually are looking forward to engaging in what is clearly an area that you disagree with this person on. Now, here's some other tactics. I think listening helps. I've found a lot of success at times with people who disagree with me on a number of topics in relation to like the immoral revolution going on. Some call it the sexual revolution. I refer to it as the immoral revolution. But when I say, I'd like to hear you on that, or can you explain what you mean by that, or how do you arrive at that? And I'm willing to listen. And then after listening, to try to restate what they said. Those are powerful moments that keep the people engaged. They don't feel like I'm trying to attack them. I think what they feel is he's trying to understand what I'm saying. And often, and this is just in all frankness, often what happens in that moment when I restate what they said, it sounds to them a little odd. And yet they can't back up from what they just said. And so it's a really good moment if you can smile, listen, restate, ask questions, state what you think you heard them say, and then if it is what they said, have them affirm that. That's a moment that actually builds credibility. Even if you remain in disagreement, that's a wonderful moment where you, in a smiling, friendly fashion, hold the line. You don't budge, but yet you interact with them. You engage with them with a compelling, convictional, compassionate winsomeness. And often a smile begins that. Now, let me answer another question that I think is in our heads regarding this topic, because I think everyone would say we want to be winsome. We no doubt want to be compelling, convictional, compassionate. We want that to be displayed in a smile, in a posture that isn't threatening or cornering. But how do you develop that? How does that happen? And here's what I truly believe, that winsomeness comes from deep confidence. See, often we're not winsome because we're really not very confident in what we believe. And so perhaps we put forth a pretentious winsomeness, or maybe we put forth a posture that says, I don't want to talk about it. Here's where I stand. Don't bug me. But here's what I deeply believe. True winsomeness comes from deep confidence. And so you have to develop and grow and nourish what you believe, what you know God's word teaches. If you're not sure how to express it, if you're not sure various angles about it, how to answer questions about it, I would encourage you, delve deep into these topics from a scriptural point of view, from trusted authors, commentaries, mentors, pastors, speakers. Get the information you need to arm yourself with the type of reasoning and information, the type of answers that actually build your confidence. Solidify what you believe and why you believe that. That will breed a true winsomeness. Again, true winsomeness comes from deep confidence. And so I think this is really on us as believers to really investigate, understand, explore, delve deep into these issues so that we understand, yes, we're not just saying they're right because they're conservative politically. We're not just saying they're right because that's what we heard growing up. We actually believe this is what the Bible teaches. The creator of the universe, our God, this is what he has mandated. These are his designs. And so we're going to hold to that. And this is why this is his design. And the more that you immerse yourself into the why and the what of God's design, the deeper your confidence will be, and then the greater your winsomeness will be. Now, let me just give you a very personal illustration of this from non-sexual issues. This has proven true in my life on a number of levels regarding second, third, and fourth degree issues. You know, things that I know we can disagree on. And there are people in our church. I have friends in my life in other states. I have fellow pastors that we actually disagree on a number of secondary or third level issues. Some of them relate to eschatology, you know, end times timing, and even end times order of events. Some deal with ecclesiology, how the church is to be structured, you know, elders and deacons, the roles of those, how paramount plurality is. Those are all issues that over, you know, 25, 30 years, I've really delved into. I'm not an expert at all, but I have found a lot of passion for knowing why I believe these things and what it is that I believe about them. Another topic is spiritual gifts, where I stand and land on those issues. I have spent a lot of years just continuing to read, learn, and there is the possibility that I'm wrong on some of these. There's the possibility that my other friends are wrong on these. We all realize we're in areas where there can be some disagreement. But here's what I found interesting, that the more I grow, the more I learn, and the more solid I become on where I've landed based on biblical evidence, biblical truth, right exegesis, and right interpretation from my perspective, then the greater confidence I have to engage in a winsome conversation. And I can tell you, I've had some beautiful and actually very vibrant conversations with fellow pastors, even family members, on areas that we disagree, and we haven't been upset in the least. It's actually ended beautifully, still disagreeing, but respecting each other, seeing each other's perspective, and realizing, I see how you came to your point, and yet I haven't felt nudged or budged to move because I have a very deep confidence in where I land on these issues. And as such, I have a truer winsomeness when I'm engaging with people about it. Now, admittedly, these are about issues that aren't, you know, first level creation order issues. And so I think we have to take that into consideration. But I think the principle is still in play, that true winsomeness comes from deep confidence. And so I want to say to the listener who wrote the question, and I want to say to all of us on the podcast today, listen very carefully. Delve deeply into these issues. Do not be afraid to find out what the Bible means in Genesis, in Romans, in Ephesians, when it calls for specific, you know, creation order issues, the design of men and women, how they relate to each other, what marriage actually is. Do not be afraid to delve into this historically and culturally, and land right where the Bible lands. And the more you know where you land and why you land there with the biblical evidence behind you, then the greater your winsomeness is in these conversations with coworkers, the less likely you'll provoke them to anger because you're not worried or scared or nervous. You actually have a great confidence. And so because you're not threatened, you'll be able to treat them in a non-threatening way with a smile, with questions. You'll be able to hear and listen. You can restate. And that's the kind of conversation then, that's the kind of dialogue that though it may not end with agreement, it does not provoke one to anger. So let me end now with just one final exhortation to all my believing friends, you who are enduring well, you're in the middle of this month and you're probably feeling the effects of your workplace or of your family, perhaps, or of friends who are kind of squeezing and pressuring you to, you know, give a thumbs up or to act like it's okay. You want to build your confidence, right? So let me suggest three things that you do to build your confidence in God's creation order, in His divine design, especially in relation to the immoral revolution going on, the sexual immoral revolution going on around us, and that it's probably going to continue. And they've got a whole month in which they heighten their celebration of it. Like, what do you do in this month and even throughout the year? What can you do to delve deeper into God's design so that you have greater confidence, which results in a truer winsomeness? Here's what I would say to you. Approach and delve into the issues logically, and even write out why there is a logical nature to God's design. Because this is one area in which the sexual immoral revolution, it does not hold up very long in normal conversation. It's not logical. But when it comes to bearing children, the furtherance of civilizations, the flourishing of societies, when you get into true conversation beyond just the first level, it's clear that the perverted culture that's within the sexual immoral revolution, it could never produce a civilization. It could never continue a society. It's a dead end road. It's sexual suicide. And they don't want to talk about that much. In fact, the entire homosexual perspective, the lesbian's perspective, that whole same-sex area, if it weren't for heterosexual, God-given creation order designs, they would not make it. They couldn't survive if it was just them because they can't reproduce. That's illogical to think that that would be okay. It's not biblical. It doesn't make sense to think a society could actually function that way. So it's just one way to understand that logically, you're in a great position to have a winsome conversation about the whole nature and culture of the immoral revolution. But you have to have this in a way that they stay at the table and you do as well. I think delving into this issue logically will really help you write down how it's illogical, how God's design's logical, how God's design is also biological, because there's some things here, of course, that fit. It's something similar, some of the same ideas, of course, but I would write these down. So delve into it logically, delve into it biologically, show how the human body works, both male and female, talk about this, how what doesn't work, and just have this conversation with a smile and rest in your confidence that this is how God made it. It makes sense logically, God's design makes sense biologically, and God's design makes sense theologically. Here again, delve into why did God design it this way? And what does it point to? What does it showcase in reference? What does it show us about the heart of God for societies and civilizations and mankind or humankind? These are all theological issues. How is it that we're made in God's image? And what does that mean in regards to, multiplication and reproducing and making sure there are more people on the earth to fill the earth with worshipers who worship God and bring Him glory. All of these are theological areas that actually speak into the sexual immoral revolution. And the more you know about them, the deeper your confidence regarding them, whether it's logically, biologically, or theologically, the greater your conversation, the more winsome your disposition and posture, the less likely it is that you will provoke your coworkers to anger. So no doubt a longer answer once we got into it. But if I were to repeat the succinct answer to your question, to the one who asked it, as well as to all of our listeners, here's the answer. Here's how you can make sure that you're not provoking your coworkers to anger, even while you're remaining faithful and enduring. And it's this here: to display a convictional, compelling, and compassionate winsomeness. And you get that by making sure you are building up your confidence in God's design. I look forward to talking to you next week on the Extra Point Podcast. Thanks so much for listening today. Until then, have a great week, and Lord willing, I'll see you Sunday at First Family Church.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.